we are rapidly approaching the third anniversary of the most recent U.S. invasion of Iraq. Since March 20th of 2003, I think we all know that the Bush administration has sent hundreds of thousands of young people in the armed forces to Iraq to kill and be killed in this war for empire. And I think we also know that Iraq has the second largest reserve of oil in the world. It's being targeted by the U.S. government for destruction because Iraqis had the audacity to nationalize their oil and to use the profits from the oil to attempt to better the lives of the average Iraqi people. And all the reasons that were given for starting a war, weapons of mass destruction or connection to 9/11, all of those have been shown to be false. But if you want to talk about weapons of mass destruction, you don't have to look very far. They're right here in this country. The United States has nearly 10,000 nuclear weapons, and the U.S. has a military budget of $500 billion per year, which is really half of all arms production in the whole world. The United States is the only country ever to have used a nuclear weapon, of course, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Meanwhile, in Iraq, more than 100,000 Iraqis have been killed in the war since March of 2003, and their country has really been destroyed, including the electricity, the food, medicine, the drinkable water. All this is in a state of ruin. Also, more than 2,000 U.S. soldiers have died, and 20,000 to 30,000 have been seriously injured, not to mention, of course, the psychological effects that have been wreaked on them. And our government, the U.S. government, has spent $300 billion or more since the start of the war to carry this out, which is coming out to more than $200 million every day. We can't see this war in isolation because we can talk about Iraq, but the U.S. is also attempting to destroy other governments that are resisting following the U.S. dictates. If we look in Venezuela, we look at what the U.S. has tried to do there, we look at their hostility to Bolivia, we look at their hostility to Cuba, to the people who have tried to strike an independent path in Haiti, in Palestine most recently. They're up in arms because the Palestinian people voted their conscience. Today, they just can't believe it, that the people chose to vote the way they saw fit. The Philippines. And, you know, people all over the world want to be independent. They want to live free from foreign domination. And we can't see the Iraq war and the resistance in Iraq is separate from that desire, that aspiration for freedom and independence that people have all over the world. And so while all this money, this $200 million a day, which is hard to even conceptualize how much money that really is being allocated by our so-called, well, our elected officials, our so-called representatives, they're simultaneously attacking social services in this country with cutbacks in Medicaid, Medicare, tuition programs, food stamps, and other vital programs. Of the $50 billion in projected cutbacks in the coming fiscal year, more than one-third are targeting programs that are designed to help young people, especially education programs. Meanwhile, of course, what choice is being offered to our young people except to join the military? And we can't forget, you know, the word racism is a part of our name. Act now to stop war and end racism. We can't forget that this is a racist war. The Bush administration has targeted and demonized Arab people and Muslim people in particular. And another reason why the war, we believe, is a racist war is because there's a systematic diversion of resources from the communities of African-American, Latino, and other communities of color. And these resources are being directed from those communities straight into the coffers of the military-industrial complex through all those weapons that are being purchased in the military spending. And we can't forget the tragedy of what happened in the aftermath of the Hurricane Katrina and also Rita. They cut millions of dollars from flood relief and all the preventative things that needed to have been done. They cut millions of dollars from the levees and hurricane relief between the years 2001 and 2005 at the same time as they were drastically increasing spending, military spending, in the so-called war on terrorism. So ANSWER has joined with many other anti-war organizations around the world to call for demonstrations on the third anniversary of the war from March 18th to 20th. And here in Seattle, we'll have a demonstration on Saturday, March 18th at Westlake Plaza. And, you know, we really need to step up our activity. I think a lot of us, we're really angry at the Bush administration. And there's, goodness knows, there's a lot to be angry about, okay? But it's not just the Bush administration. It's not just George Bush or even George Bush and the neocons. Bad as they are, okay, bad as they are, that's not the only problem. Because they share the same interests and the same goals with all the sectors of leadership in the Republican Democratic Party. And what are those goals? Their goals are to control the resources and the profits of the strategic, very strategic area, the Middle East. That's the oil, that's the geographic strategic aspect of it as well. And that's what they're all about, whether it's through one method or another method. They all share the same goal. And so we can't just focus on Bush alone. If we took Bush out of the picture, would it really change the underlying fundamental drive of the system towards war? I don't think so. The Republicans and Democrats, you know, the Democrats voted for all the same war allocations that we've been talking about, these, you know, billions of dollars that they're spending on the war. They're supported by the same corporate and banking contributors, and their real constituents are big oil, the banks, and the military-industrial complex. We have to look at our own history as progressive people in this country and learn the lessons of the civil rights movement, the women's movement, the lesbian, gay, bi, and trans movement. And by the way, I hope we all can take a moment to feel positive about the victory today down in Olympia, the passage of the civil rights bill for lesbian, gay, civil rights in this state. It is a momentous victory. And but we have to remember this wasn't a gift. It wasn't just that Finkbeiner changed his mind. I mean, yes, Finkbeiner changed his mind, but why did Finkbeiner change his mind? Did he just have a change of heart? He was walking along the road to Damascus and no, you know, a lightning bolt did not strike him and change his mind. It was the pressure of the movement from below that made him realize that as a politician, he could afford to vote for this thing because it wasn't going to lose him his seat because there's been a change in consciousness of the broader community. And we have to understand that real change doesn't come as a gift from politicians, but it comes from we the people. It comes from the mass mobilization of the people working together. So we're about trying to create a national grassroots anti-war movement. And that's why we're coming together with people all over the world to call for these demonstrations on the anniversary of the start of the war and to try to bring people together, not just to demonstrate on a particular day, but as one step towards building a broader and stronger grassroots movement that can fight not only to end the war, but also for social justice, because those two things kind of go hand in hand. So again, here in the Puget Sound area, we're beginning to mobilize for March 18, and we hope that those of you who are here tonight will think about constituting yourselves as a Bainbridge area mobilizing committee or mobilizing center that could try to bring people together, as you did in September for the demonstrations, might consider doing the same thing, to begin to mobilize here on the island to bring people together for March 18th in Seattle.